If you got your Bibles this morning, come on back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, we were there last week, and I thought the Lord was going to let me switch over and preach on Uriah and David, but that's not the direction that we got to go in, so the Lord's turned me back over here to 1 Samuel again. When you find your place, if you will, please stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to preach on, there's just something that's been on my heart heavy on perspective, just getting the right perspective. And I think this is where the Lord has got us today, that this might be His will. But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 1. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1, he says, "And now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah, Ephesdamim, there you go. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders." Now right here's where I want to take my text from this morning. Verse 7, "And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron." Here's the subject of our message today. "And one bearing a shield went before him." Come down to verse 40. Same chapter, verse 40. "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Father, we ask now your blessings would be upon the message, that it may accomplish that which you've set it forth to accomplish. Let our eyes be focused, Lord, in the direction that they ought to be. And Lord, let us see the very need of our heart this morning. And we'll thank you for all you do and all you've done. In Christ's name and for His sake we pray. Amen. When it comes to getting the right perspective, one of the things that we need to realize is you can look up from anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter where you are currently going, the path on which you currently are. You can look up from any point. The thing about it is when you get to a certain place, you look up. What's going to be dependent is the angle by which you're looking when you do look up. In Exodus chapter 33, the Bible says, starting in verse 18, it's talking about Moses having an encounter with the Lord up in the mountain there. And it says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Listen to me this morning. I want you to understand that it doesn't matter where an individual is in their life. There's never anybody in any place where they can't look up from anywhere they are. But listen, the place that they're at where they look up, that may be dependent upon the angle in which they're looking from. I tell you, if I was going to look up and see the Lord and expect to see Him, and if you look up, the Bible says, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. He says, we look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. And if I was going to look up this morning and know that I was going to see the Lord, I looked up with expectation that I would see the Lord, the last thing I want to do is look up and see the back of the Lord or see Him from a side view. If I look up this morning, I want to know when I look up that I'm going to get a full frontal view of the face of the Son of God. Say, well, now listen, you can't see the face of the Lord. Listen, they couldn't see the face of the Lord back then, but the Bible says because of the salvation I've been saved with, I can sit together with Him in heavenly places. I can behold the glory of the Lord. All that's left for me to do is turn my eyes up from whence cometh my help. Amen. It says if we could ask the Lord for anything, and listen, He says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But if we could ask the Lord for anything, it would be that the Lord help us to get the proper perspective, because if there's anything that you and I need to learn about perspective, it's that we need some. Amen. We need the proper perspective. David said in Psalm 80, he said, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Turn us again. You know, it's not just once that it has to be done. Sometimes it's numerous times that we need the Lord to turn our focus, to turn our vision, turn our perspective in the direction that we're going to see Him in. All right, because we're saved the face of the Lord is not hidden from us. He said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Amen. Praise God for that. Now, Goliath's shield bearer is only mentioned two times in the passage. Only two times is he mentioned. Both of them just say, all they say about him is it says that he went before him. That's all it says. It don't say his name. It don't say his lineage. It don't say how old or young he was. It don't say nothing other than the fact that when Goliath stepped onto the field, the shield bearer went before him. That's all it says. Now, we know who him is. Him is Goliath, and we know that. We've seen the story through his eyes before. Yet if we would stop for just a minute, I think we might be able to see what the scene looks like through this shield bearer. And if we do so, we just might find ourselves standing guard trying to protect a giant that Jesus Christ, our David, is trying to slay, and we are standing in the way of that giant being slain. And I'm not, listen to me, I've heard this passage preached on so many different ways, I've heard them preached on, you need to slay the giant in your life and let God use you like David used the stone to take the giant down. I've heard it preached in all these ways, but listen, the thing that God has impressed on my heart over the last few weeks has been the fact that we need to get a different perspective, because obviously the way we've been looking, the way we've been watching, the way we've been trying to figure things out have been from the wrong angle, and we need a different angle. A different angle may shed a new light on something that maybe we didn't see the first time around, or even the second time around. David said, "Turn us again, oh God." Man, it may take 3 or 4 or 5 turns before we get the right perspective and the right light on something that God wants us to see this morning. And as the shield bearer stands there, you just don't know. You may find yourself this morning having stood there with a shield and you're guarding what you think is something good. But when the light gets shined on it in the proper perspective, you may see that your David, Jesus Christ, a type of the Lord Jesus, is out there trying to slay that giant. And everything he's doing to try to slay the giant is being hindered by your willingness and desire to protect it. Amen. There's some things that we need to realize is this morning, and I'm going to go through these things pretty quickly. I'm not going to carry on too awful long, but I want to make sure that we get the right focal point this morning. And I tell you, I was thinking about it this morning. I said, "Lord, I'm fixing to leave, and I'm going to be gone for a week. And I mean, I got a brother coming to preach for y'all and everything like that. And I promise you, if you try to give him my pulpit, I'm going to come back, I'm going to whoop all of you." No, I'm kidding. Hey, listen, I don't care how bad y'all want to put somebody in this pulpit. If it don't fit their shoes, it ain't going to work. Amen. Right now, this pulpit fits my shoes. Amen. Until God changes shoes, there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Now, y'all just relish that. Amen. No, listen to me. I have every confidence that that man that's coming this next week, he's going to tell you the truth. I got to hear him once or twice preaching. He's a pretty good man. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're my flock, and I've got to realize the fact that I'm going to leave y'all for about a week now, and I ain't going to be able to come and feed y'all for about a week. So I want to make sure that what I give you today in the chat, listen, I don't know that I'm going to be back here ever again. I don't know that the Lord won't take us out in a car wreck. I don't know that we won't get down there and the Lord rapture us out from Jacksonville. But whatever may happen, I want to make sure that if this is the last time I stand in this pulpit, that you have got the right perspective that God wants you to have before I leave here. And listen, one of the things that you need to see this morning is the fact that if this giant gets dispatched, and listen, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ out there fighting against these things, these giants, and you need to realize that this armor bearer's perspective is, this is his frame of mind. That's what this whole message has got to be about. It's got to be about getting in the mind of that armor bearer. Get in his mind. Get in his heart. Put yourself in his shoes. If this giant be slain, you will then be without a champion. Amen. Because Goliath, it says a champion went out whose name was Goliath of Gath, and the shield bearer is there gone before Goliath. And if the giant be slain, then the armor bearer or the shield bearer will be without a champion. The shield bearer would have been, listen, get this now. Here's something I want you to get. Here's the shield bearer. He's gone before Goliath, but Goliath is the focal point of David. It ain't the shield bearer. Goliath is the one who's gaining everybody's attention. Goliath is the one who's got the spotlight on him. He's the biggest thing on the field right now, and everybody's focus is on him. But as soon as the Lord dispatches the giant, who do you think's going to be next in line? I would almost wonder if it wouldn't be the closest one to the giant. And being the shield bearer for the giant might mean that you or me would be the next one in line to be dealt with. Now listen, I want to help you with something now. I want to help you today. Maybe you need to let the Lord dispatch your giant. I didn't say you need to do it. Listen, you can't do it. David couldn't do it. He told Goliath, he said, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You can't beat the giant. The Lord can beat him, though. And listen, what we need to do this morning is you need to let the Lord defeat that giant. You need to let Him dispatch that giant. Why does He need to dispatch the giant, preacher? Because if He dispatches your giant, then He's free and clear to deal with you. But as long as you've got your focus on something that you're supposed to be, that you feel like you need to be protecting, He can't deal with you. Why? Because He's first got to deal with your giant. He's got to deal with your giant first. We need God to deal with us, and we need Him to deal with us personally. I don't want God to deal with me through my giant. And I'm not telling you I ain't got one. Listen, everybody sitting in here this morning has got a giant of some kind. And I don't want the Lord to have to deal with me through my giant, Brother Candler. I want Him to deal with me personally, directly. And if it means, beloved, listen, this all boils down to the desire of your heart. What is the desire of your heart? Do you want God dealing with you through your giant? Or do you want God to deal with you directly, one-on-one? Because the only way that'll happen is you're going to have to get the shield out of the way and let Him dispatch the giant. And then He can deal with you directly. What is this, preacher? It's a different perspective. It's a different way of looking at this. Y'all have all heard the story of David and Goliath hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I mean, good Lord, if you grew up within 100 miles of the church, you know the story of David and Goliath. But I don't think I've ever looked at it from this side. Never looked at it from this point of view. Now, I want to tell you this. Your shield may be in the wrong place. Amen. The shield may be in the wrong place. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, he tells you when he gives you the list of the armor of God, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Listen, misplaced faith. You know what that can do? Misplaced faith. Misplaced faith can hinder the prodigals from coming home sooner. Amen? I'm talking mama and daddy been praying for that prodigal to come home. Brother and sister been praying for that prodigal to come home. And instead of letting the Lord dispatch the giant, they're over here with the shield blocking everything that the Lord's trying to put over there. I don't want them hurt. I don't want them this. I don't want them that. And the Lord's sitting here going, the reason I can't deal with the prodigal is because you are too busy defending the giant. I can't get the... the Lord could shoot through me if He wanted to. Do you want the Lord shooting through you? Be honest with you, I'd rather be on the side of the Lord, brother, as I would to be, what do they call that, cannon fodder, friendly fire. I don't want to be caught in the middle when He's trying to accomplish something because I'm standing here trying to block the thing. Listen, I've been in a couple of scuffles in my days. I've been in a couple of fights. And you know what a lot of them resulted in? It resulted in something that started between two other people and I tried to get in the middle and break it up and one of them popped me. And you know what that did? It made me start getting into it with somebody. So it was a three-way deal. And that ain't what the Lord needs you and me doing. You know what we're doing in that sense? We're getting in His way. Because then He has to take us out of the way so that He can deal with the giant. Then He's got to come back and deal with us on a different level than what we were originally having to deal with. We create more issues by misplaced faith because we take the shield of faith and we're supposed to use it to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And our David is out there trying to help us by dispatching a giant. And we're hindering the work because we're trying to take the shield and block his advances to protect the giant. I'll tell you what misplaced faith can do. Misplaced faith can hinder souls from coming to know the Lord. Because we've got that giant that we're trying to protect. And the Lord says, I need him out of the way. Because I cannot bring salvation to Israel as long as he's standing in the middle of the field blaspheming my name. He's turning people away from me. He's taking people's hearts so that they're fearful and they're scared. And I've not given people the spirit of fear. I've given them the spirit of love and of a sound mind, but they're giving themselves over to fear because the giant's not dispatched. If I could get the giant out of the way, then the salvation of Israel could come to fruition. But because there's too many armor bearers or shield bearers still out there holding up a shield, and that's my shield of faith right there, man. And ain't, you know, I'm going to use that faith and I'm going to put it, yeah, right over the giant. And he's going to continue to stand there. Do you know why the giant was so easily dispatched with a sling and a stone? Say it was the power of God. Yes, absolutely it was. But you know what it also was? It was the fact that the pride of the giant made the shield bearer get out of the way. But I'll tell you something, you don't read that. You don't read anywhere in the passage. I read through the passage over and over again just to make sure I don't miss a place where it says Goliath made the shield bearer stay behind or move out of the way. Every time you read about the shield bearer, it says he went before him. And beloved, it seems to me like sometimes you and I can get so busy just trying to run ahead of that giant and stay ahead of that giant. I mean, I tell you, ain't nothing like, I mean, I'm going to tell y'all something. And I know most of y'all that's been parents, y'all know this. Some of y'all that works with youngins, y'all know this. But I'm telling you, trying to run after a two-year-old is like trying to herd a chicken. You know? That's what I feel like. I told Heather, I said, come next basketball season, if I get to go back and coach, I said, ain't nobody going to get around me. They ain't going to be able to get around me. The alumni game's in the bag. Y'all better hope you're on my team. I'm going to be number one defender. Amen. But you know what? I've learned that you can't hurt a giant. You can't hurt a giant. He's going to go where he wants to go. But you and I can find ourselves so busy that all we're doing is... He's moving over here. You've got to go over here to protect him. He's moving over here. You've got to move over here to protect him. And all the while, the Lord's over here just going to move. Got a clear line of sight. If you just get out of the way, I could take care of this thing. Yeah, but Lord, what if? What if nothing? I got a load here. I'm ready to go. I told you about that other perspective you can look at. Look at it from the rock standpoint. I mean, you're taking your time to get the shield out of the way of the giant. Maybe some servant of the Lord that's in that sling getting seasick because the Lord's just sitting here whipping him around like a washing machine. He's up there, the other servant of the Lord's the rock. He's fixing to be used to dispatch your giant. And he's up here, whoa, would you please put the shield down? I've got to puke. See, it's funny, but you just don't realize how much that applies to some folks. I'm telling you, that stuff just sticks right there, man. Misplaced faith. Now, I want to tell you this, too, and I'm hurrying. I'm trying to get on down the road here. This shield bearer don't have no name. That's something else you need to notice about him. He ain't got no name. He was known not for who he was, but he was known for what he guarded. Because here he is holding up. He's Goliath's shield bearer. He has no name. He's only recognized for what he's defending. He's only recognized for what he's guarding. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Listen, the gainsayers won't be hard to convince if when they look behind your shield, all they see is a 9-foot-9 giant. It ain't hard to convince a bunch of gainsayers when they're sitting here, no, you'll never be able to, no, it won't, I mean, come on, listen, how are you going to do that? And you just move that shield to the side and they look around, oh, you got a 9-foot-9 giant. That's how you're going to do it. But listen to me, as simple as it would be, listen, here you are, you're right here, and there's David out yonder, and here's Goliath, and you're like this. How easy it would be to just, all right, and now Goliath's over there, and David's back here. Now you're defending in the right direction. See, the gainsayers are looking, and they look around your shield, and they see Goliath, and they say, oh, he got a 9-foot-9 giant. You're good. No problem. But that ain't what Titus says. Titus says to hold fast the word. Amen. Isn't that what he said? Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Do you know how much harder it is today to watch a child of God with a shield of faith and they're up here defending, and when you look behind it, you just see a little ruddy youth of David back yonder with a sling waiting for a shot. And they're like, really? That's what you're trusting? People look at you today and they see all the stuff that you're going through and all the stuff that you're dealing with, and when they see that shield and they look around it and they look up on a hill and there's an old rugged cross that had a Savior hanging on it, and they say, really? That's what you're trusting? Say, that's it. That's it. Hey, listen, he ain't going to look behind my shield and see a White House. Amen. He ain't going to look behind my shield. And listen, I told him this morning, I'm as patriotic as you want to get. You cut me, I'm going to bleed red. Amen. You look at my eyeballs and they're still white. And if you punch me, I will turn blue. Amen. So I'm about as patriotic as you can get. But I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't going to look behind my shield and see an American flag there before they see the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. Need to get that right perspective. When you're standing there guarding what has already stood the test of time for so long that people don't even want to acknowledge that it's there anymore. I mean, you got a hard row to hoe, brother, sister. If you're standing there holding up that shield of faith and you're defending what the Lord has put in place long before you were here, and you're standing there with that shield of faith and that's what you're protecting, then listen, you're in a place where you got a hard row to hoe. It's easy whenever you're protecting a giant. It's easy to protect the giant. I mean, he's a big target, but I mean, he can take a lot too, and you just ain't got a whole lot of responsibility that you got to worry about. And the last thing I want to say is this. If the giant was all that he claimed to be, he wouldn't have needed anybody to protect him anyway. Amen. If the giant is all that he claimed to be, he wouldn't have needed nobody to protect him anyway. Listen, that book that's in your lap and the salvation that you're saved by has stood the test of time longer than any one of us has been here. Amen. And it'll continue to stand the test of time. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be standing there trying to defend that as I would be to try to defend some giant that the Lord's trying to dispatch. And the Lord's telling me, if you'll just get out of the way, I can dispatch this thing and we can get on. And we can get on with this. But I tell you, a lot of people have got their perspective in the wrong place. They're looking at the shield bearer side. They're more worried about losing their champion. But I'm more comfortable with the giant behind me than I am with David behind me. I'd rather have the giant. Why? Because it's easy to put confidence in the giant. It's easy to be confident when you got muscle behind you. Amen. It's easy when you ain't the underdog. Judges chapter 6, whenever Gideon throws down the altar of Baal and he cuts down the grove and the men of the town come out and they're going to kill him, Joash, his father, steps in, and in Judges 6:31 it says, And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." I mean, if the Lord was in the process of slaying a giant, the last thing I tell you that I'd want to be would be next in line. Amen? Because I'll tell you right now, if the Lord's fixing to slay a giant and it's the one I'm defending, I'm going to tell you right now, the last thing that I want to be is next on the list. Because I was caught standing there defending the wrong thing with my perspective in the wrong place. You know what the proper perspective will do? It'll help you to look around the shield and see what you're holding fast. The right perspective. Listen, you get so busy. We get busy. And you get so burdened with it. I'm telling you something. And you know what's so sad about it? This message this morning, I hope it's doing something for somebody. I really do. But you know what? As you sit here and you look in the hearts and the eyes, you look in the eyes of people, you can see some that it's helping, but you can see some that they're just not. It's just right over their head. They're like the aerodynamic. I think I'm going to preach a message one of these days on aerodynamic Christians. You ever seen the commercials of the car and they put the car there and they blow the wind at it and it shows you the line and it shows you how the wind passes over? That's how some Christians are. Holy Spirit of God's over here trying to blow a message into their heart and it's just right over the top of their head and right out the back door. And that's the way they are. And I'm going to tell you, I know God wouldn't have given me this message if somebody here didn't need this morning. But I'm telling you, I know in a crowd this big, there's somebody that this is just, it's just going right over their head. And you know what's sad is it's the fact that they just don't think that they've got the wrong look at things. Why is it so important that you learn the importance of perspective? Because we ain't got much. Or the fact, let me just put it to you this way. We may have some, but we need some different perspective. Amen. Need to look at some things a little different. We've looked at it the same way for so long, things ain't changed. It might be time that we take our focus and turn it the different direction. Say, how am I supposed to do that? You've got to talk to the one who's on the other side of the shield. Amen. And it ain't the giant. Because we've been standing there defending his rear end for long enough. We need to let the Lord dispatch him, and then the Lord can deal directly with us. And then whenever we look on the other side of the shield, instead of seeing a giant, I'd rather see David out there. Amen. Let's bow our heads.